The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Life Tips Radio Show, everyone. Byron White here. I'm here with Alan Yuki. Alan, pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me.
You're the author of You Can Buy America Back. How much will it cost, Alan?
Well, okay. What we need to do...
Tell us about your book and why you wrote it.
Okay. The book's named Buy America Back, and what it's about is two things. It's basically how the economy and job situation got into this mess, and then there's a prescription of how to fix it. And it turns out that the majority of the problem we have right now is the way consumers are spending their money. And what it's doing is it's creating a trade deficit, which is moving all this money and jobs and factories out of the country. And really, the only way of fixing it, because two-thirds of the economy is consumer spending, is for consumers to basically be informed about when they buy and purchase where all the money's going, which requires a change in the laws, and for them to start looking at that when they make a decision of what they're going to buy.
International trade and commerce is an extremely complex and, I might add, potentially fragile marketplace. In theory, I think you want us to buy more America, and I think it's wonderful you've taken on this concept, meaning buy more American products and services produced and originated in our fine country. But could you comment upon the fragile nature of the trade environment, why it is so fragile, why there's so much stress and hype and you know, imports, exports, balanced world economy, wagering and hedging going on, political, this is complex stuff. Wouldn't you agree? And could you explain why it is so complex?
Well, two things. First of all, it's something like when you eat food, that there's a lot of different calories for different types of things you eat, and there's fat and there's carbohydrates, and once we have these labels on products where you go to the store, now you know how many calories this has. You now have a real handle on what you want to buy, and this is the same thing, whereby it is complex, and right now consumers don't have much information, so they really are helpless. I'm trying to change that, and once you have the information on products you buy, all these things become much clearer, and it becomes very easy, actually, to make a decision. And what happened in the food industry is that the manufacturers didn't want you to know what the ingredients or calories were, because they're making a lot of money on putting things out that cost them less to make but gave you more calories and fat. And they resisted for a long time. It took a consumer movement to put this information on food, and now when I go to the store, I don't know if any of your listeners have the same experience, but you pick this up and suddenly realize it's got 900 calories. Well, it changes your buying habits. Well, what I want to do is put labels on products that have a percentage of content by country, so you know not just one country, but you know the spread of countries that are getting what percentage of the money or where it came from, and then it has our racial trade with those companies and the nationality of the manufacturer. And with those pieces of information, you can now know a lot more about where your money's going, if it's going to be coming back, because it has a good trade relationship with that country, and also where this manufacturer's from. If they're someone domestic, which usually means they have a more stake in the product being a good product, and they'd be paying taxes here. And without this law, you really are helpless. And that's what I'm trying to do, is like we have for food, where we now have this information available to consumers.
It's a novel concept. You draw a lot from nutritional labels, right, and mentioned it just a second ago, and I know that your contention there is that our diet perhaps and personal health has gotten better because of personal labels.
But at least you have the choice. I mean, you now, yeah, the information's there. You can decide if you want to do it, if you want to.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk about the distinction between products and services and, you know, how, in fact, American-driven services and knowing that they're American-based, you know, could be a value proposition, in fact, for a lot of companies that providing services?
Well, my plan is really for manufactured products. The service stuff is outside my realm. What I'm looking for is a change in labeling on, you know, all normal products you buy in a store, you know, and it might even spread over to some other type of item. And the service industry is also part of this economy, but the majority of our problems, actually the manufactured items, we import about $2 trillion a year in products from overseas, and we only export $1.3 trillion. So that $700 billion deficit is what's causing our unemployment problem right now. And it's about 10 million jobs. And so I'm addressing that, and the products are fairly easy to get at because it's in the store. You get to see it. You get to hold the hand. You get to make a decision of whether you're going to buy it or not. And I want this information on the internet too. So, and there's options, lots of options out there. So it should be part of your decision. And we don't have to do a giant change in our habits. It's about 5%, and that would get rid of the unemployment problem. But switching at 5% to either domestic made or to a country that has a good trade relationship with the U.S. where they buy a lot from us, too.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and let's look at some of those numbers again. You know, we're importing 2 trillion products value. I'm assuming that's sort of a retail value, and then exporting 1.3 trillion. If we did not import as much and produced more internally ourselves, wouldn't that, in fact, decrease our exporting as well? I mean, again, trade is an incredibly complex import-export balance system. And, you know, do you see a disruption of that? Is that, I mean, I love disruption, don't get me wrong, and I don't want to challenge it, but I want to look at it from Congress perspective and, you know, and whether or not this is a legal issue or whether or not tackling this from a philosophical issue, you know, point of view, it might be a good way to go, and you know, and driving it to, you know, American. You know, it's funny when I see an American logo; they're usually so poorly, you know, designed, and it almost feels like, oh, it's an American print. It's not a chic Italian, you know, Fendi handbag. You know, it's like, what do we have here in the United States? You know, not too many. Fashionistas are manufacturing product in the United States that have that world class, you know, image and that high appeal. I mean, do you get what I'm saying? It's like it's a conundrum here. It's a difficult proposition you're tossing out there.
Well, let me explain. There's two things going on. Okay, and it, I hope to make it all clear. It's not this mysterious. Okay, we have this trade deficit. You can solve it two ways. One is that you switch from something made overseas or to an American product, or you buy it an imported item from a country that buys more from us, so it helps build our exports. And very specifically, okay, when you buy something from China, they have a whole plan not to buy anything from the United States. So when you pay a dollar for something, they only buy 25 cents from us. So 75 cents goes out of the country never to be seen again. And their biggest imports in the United States are scrap metal and paper. So they try to buy no manufactured products, create no jobs. It's a whole government and population program over there. Mm-hmm. If you buy something from South Korea, it's 79% comes back to the United States. Even Taiwan, 73%. So if you just switch from a product made in Taiwan or Korea, which are 73% coming back, away from China, which is 25% coming back, you just made like a 50-cent difference in the amount of the purchase that's going to come back, because those people, you give them money, they buy American stuff. These other people, you give them money, they don't. And it's not simply a matter of just buying American. It's basically switching away from these countries that don't buy much from us. And that's why you need to know the percentage of content and the trade ratio, because some countries like Canada, they buy about equal amounts from us. you will not be helping the economy hardly at all if you switched to an American product, a Canadian product, because they're buying so much from us, it all balances out. When you switch away from a Chinese product or some of these other countries that have bad ratios, and in this book I have gives you all the ratios of every country in the world, it starts helping us because people will, those people, when you give them money, they buy American products or, you know, a large percentage of American products. And so we have to redirect our purchases to, you know, to things that are going to bounce back to our economy. And you create jobs by increasing your exports, not just, you know, converting exports, imports, you know, to U.S. production. And it's just that simple. It's not more complicated than that. It's just that you don't have those numbers. It's just like calories. You know, if you were trying to figure out, you know, if you're getting fat versus flour versus whatever, it all comes down to calories. You know, and once you have the calories, you know what the thing is. It comes down to what the percentages are and what the trade ratio is. And that's all there is to it. It's not mysterious. It's $10 trillion of consumer spending. If you switch 5% of your spending to, you know, this way, knowing now this information, you've basically reduced the trade deficit down to almost nothing, and you created all these jobs that would actually wipe out our unemployment problem. And nothing else can actually do it because nothing else is as big in the U.S. economy as the consumer spending. It's 2/3 of the economy. But people haven't had that information, and they haven't been told that it's that they need to do this. And in other countries, by the way, they go out of an effort, a really amazing effort, to buy their own stuff. You try to sell something in Japan, you know, they'll do anything, you know, to buy a Japanese product unless it's so much more expensive or it doesn't work. You know, they'll buy their own stuff. And we just don't do that, and we need to start doing that.
More in just a minute. Let's take a quick station break. Back with Kevin Yuki, and author of You Can Buy American Back.
Hold on 1 second. Let me just try that again. Alan, I know I think you might have been stepping on top of Byron. So, Byron, go ahead and give the cue to commercial again.
Sure.
Thanks.
Let's take a break, everyone. Back with Alan Yuki in just 1 minute.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think eBrands. Free and unlimited SEO audit reports. eBrands. Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators. eBrands. Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators. eBrands. Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for eBrands.
Oh, yeah. My day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Warning! Listening to WebmasterRadio.fm daily may cause webmaster insomnia and an increase in your company's profits. WebmasterRadio.fm. Stay up with us all night long. WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Alan, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
I want to ask you about your own business. You're you started your own business in San Diego in a dorm room, actually.
Yeah.
And you put a lot of money back into the San Diego economy. Tell me about your own business and where the roots of this concept really came from.
Well, I've had my business since I was 18. I'm 59 now, so I've had it 41 years. I sell to 60 countries, and it's over half of our production. That's why I'm telling you about the export things are so important, because in my plant, more than half the people are building stuff to ship overseas. And, you know, a little less than half are building things to sell here. And so it doesn't really matter if they're working to sell something overseas or working to make something here. They're still working here.
Mm-hmm.
And I buy parts, frankly, from other countries for some of our stuff because it's not made here anymore. And, for example, I'd buy some things from China. And if they're happy to sell you stuff, they go out of their way to be the cheapest price and everything else. But if you try selling anything to China, you're pretty much blocked. You know, or they'll ask for samples, send a few in, and they'll copy it. And then they'll start selling against you. So, basically, they have a system over there whereby they, you know, it's really hopeless for an American company to try to sell anything, you know, but they are set up to sell you components. And other countries like Taiwan, South Korea, and where I sell 60 countries, even Hong Kong, which is part of China now, you know, they buy a lot of my stuff. It's just China doesn't, because they don't want to. And the government encourages that, the people there try to buy their own stuff. And if you go to other countries around the world, you know, that's been their secret formula, is that the ones that are really doing well in the global economy have a very high preference of buying their own stuff. So instead of bringing everything in and not caring where it comes from, they give a home team, you know, preference to anything they can buy that's made locally, even if it costs a little bit more, it's not quite, you know, as good as the other one, but it's still good enough. And with that little shift, you know, they hold more dollars in their country, and that extra change in employment actually is what stops them from having a problem like we have in the United States, where a lot of people don't have jobs. And it's just that they're doing it and we aren't. And I think how we got there is that we were so prosperous for so long, we thought we'd help everyone out, and, you know, so we didn't really care, which all these countries have all along, you know, about whether it was imported or domestic, and or you were buying from a country that also bought a lot from us. And so that lax habits, like how you gain weight, pretty soon you wake up one day and you're 50 pounds overweight. Well, that's what's happened to us, is that we've had these kind of like unconscious buying decisions that, you know, were bad for the country, and the consumers have spent us into that condition with the help of the retail stores, because what's happening is they make more money on imports, so they do everything they can to push that stuff and to actually make the American stuff unavailable. And what you have to do to change it is do what we did with organic food, whereby, you know, you just won't even buy it if it's not organic, you know, so that they have a choice now of not making more money on one thing versus another. They're not going to get a sale at all because they can go somewhere else because they won't buy it. And that has to happen, where if they see these products here and they're from countries with bad trade ratios, or there could have been an American one, that they're just going to go get it on the online or from another store, and then suddenly they'll manage to start buying, bringing things in that are better purchases for the country. And that's kind of the dance we have now. And the book describes all of that, the trade ratios, how we got there, and why these companies are doing this stuff. And you read it, you understand the whole situation. And by the way, everyone from the last Secretary of Commerce to Ralph Nader has endorsed the book and what I'm trying to do. So this isn't a radical thing. We're putting a bill through Congress, and you're going to see action on this thing, you know, later this year and next year, where this labeling is going to go on stuff, and then it's up to the public then to learn about, you know, what this label means. And it'll change things. And it's a long overdue thing. It should have been done years ago.
We have a few minutes left. Tell us more about the tactical approach. So you wrote the book. You're trying to get the word out to consumers, I assume, with the
right.
book.
Right. Yes.
And also perhaps some education frontier on manufacturers. But how do you expect this to roll out? When will there be a vote in Congress?
Well, they'll probably be introduced.
Have you had to hire lobbyists for this? Or
yep.
Are you leading the charge on this, and how are you tactically rolling this out?
Well, there's a bipartisan movement in Congress. A bunch of, you know, from both sides of different congressmen are going to be on co-authors on this bill or putting together. It'll be introduced, you know, probably at the first of next session, because very few things are moving through the Congress right now because of the election year, and they'll try to get it all passed next year.
Mm-hmm.
And the issues will be more the details of, you know, how the ratios are calculated. there's going to be opposition from retail stores because they're making a ton of money bringing all this imported stuff in from countries that we have bad ratios with, and we'll have to just oppose those. But we have, for this, you know, a lot of the U.S. manufacturing companies, and again, unions, by the way, AFL-CIO endorsed this, by the way, and, you know, and basically the good government, even basically a lot of administration-type people, because if you look at the numbers, they want to solve unemployment. There's really no way of making it happen in enough jobs to without involving the consumers. And so it's going to require public reaction, you know, to this. And I'm starting that whole process now, making people aware this is coming, this is why, and what you have to do. And we can spend ourselves back to prosperity, literally where we are, where we used to be 20, 30 years ago, where the economy is doing well, everyone's getting raises, they have jobs, and you will get a Social Security check when you retire. And look at Germany. Germany has a trade surplus. They compete in the same world market. People there in factories get $12 an hour more than the Americans do. They have the money to buy their own stuff, entire quality stuff, and they have money left over. And but it's because the consumers make an effort to buy their own stuff and educate themselves about it. Hmm. And we got a monologue after that.
We just have about a minute left. Tell us how we can get involved and support this if people on the air want so choose.
Well, there's a website, buyamericaback.org. You can go log in, and you know, and it tells you a lot more. Of course, I have this book. And the reason why the book's important is that it half the book is about different countries in the world and what their trade relationships are and what the ratios are. The other half is about, you know, how we got into this mess. And the thing is that once you understand it all, it would not be mysterious to you at all. I know you started with that when you talked to me at this thing here, but you read it all. It's actually pretty simple. And what you have right now is a conflict of interest whereby the businesses are making a lot more money selling out the American products because they've been given higher margins. And it's just like the organic food costs more to make, and the producers of the food, you know, by using pesticides and all kinds of other things, were able to make it cheaper and have higher profits. And the same thing again with the packaged foods; they were using all kinds of other ingredients that, you know, cost less to make, and then this reform is causing them to have to adjust their formulas. And by the same with cars; they made them safer, you know, which cost more to do, but now you survive car accidents that you would have been killed 20, 30 years ago. And it's just the evolution of all these things where it's in our public interest to have this stuff, and so we just have to demand it and then buy differently and cause this to happen.
Let's take a station break and back in just a minute.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break. As you know, being an expert at
What did she say?
Requires lots of practice and a great tool. Think you could use some help with f***?
Whoa!
You're not alone. Hundreds have used our tool to take their f*** performance to the next level.
The language!
Of course, we're talking about managing Facebook ads on Acquisio.
Oh.
Buy, track, manage, optimize, and report on media across all major ad networks. Visit Acquisio.com to get a demo today. Acquisio. Search. Social. Display. One platform.
How far do your ads reach? You don't have to fly around the world for the right consumers and clients to find your business. What you need is profit through performance. Location 3 Media helps you to increase your brand's findability and performance. Let Location 3 Media help you create efficient and effective online marketing campaigns that fit your needs and get you results. We know every click starts a journey. Where will your brand be on the path? Visit location3media.com.
Johnson, what's this mantis I keep hearing about? Do we need to call an exterminator?
No, sir. Moby Mantis is our new SMS marketing tool.
SM what?
SMS. Text messaging. Moby Mantis lets us communicate directly with our customers in real time. We can send promos, coupons. It even lets our customers market for us by sharing offers with their friends online. It's been great for business.
Sounds expensive.
Actually, I signed us up for an extended free trial. It hasn't cost us a dime.
Good work, Johnson. I guess the only thing we'll be exterminating is the competition.
To get your free extended trial of Moby Mantis, text RADIO to 21691. That's RADIO to 21691 for Moby Mantis.
You have arrived
at the destination for education and entertainment.
Webmasterradio.fm.
Because not everyone's last name is Gates.
Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back. Alan, who do you want to get a hold of you, and how should they get a hold of you?
Well, through the website, you can email into there, and then we have a kind of organization now, and they will go through there and get back with you and do whatever you need. And it's kind of funny. I'm a businessman, you know, with a manufacturing company, and I'm suddenly a consumer advocate. By the way. The last person you'd expect in some ways to do these things. So I get pulled into them because I'm one of the few people that understands these situations enough that I even have ideas about specifically what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And so I did it once before. When you buy a new car, there's a smog index that tells you how much it pollutes. I invented that and got the laws passed to put them on cars.
So wow. Ironically, did you patent that?
I'm doing it again. Yeah, I got it passed. I don't have time for this, but what happens, I used to run the Boy Scout Council here. They put mandatory ride sharing in, and it was killing the Cub Scout program. And so I decided, well, this is stupid. They could be doing this instead. And so I came up with the idea of what to do instead. Everyone jumped on it because ride sharing was very unpopular, and so it became law. But I have a situation here whereby what I'd want to do doesn't require all these draconian things like, you know, breaking up our trade relationships with other countries. All I'm trying to do is change consumer demand. And what will mm-hmm. happen to them is they don't have to be cut off. They just have to buy more stuff so their trade ratio goes up, and so it doesn't turn into a big conflict. But you have to do that at the consumer level.
Right. That's what I was alluding to earlier, by the way, is just try to, you know, how can we really, you know, tackle this issue from the ground, from the bottom up, which is, A, educating consumers, and a label may help. You know, I can't believe that an American manufacturer wouldn't want to promote a label on it. I mean, why does this even need to be a Congress bill? Why not just lobby to get manufacturers of U.S. products to put a stamp on it saying, hey, support USA. Here's an organization that can help you do that. You know, buy back America. Go here. Here's what cool new labels look like. Here's what, no need to use the boring American red, white, and blue flag saying made in America. Here's some hip new things that would fit better with your products, and choose your own colors, and, you know, create statistics on your website that show how many jobs were created, by buying our products if sales grows from X to Y to Z, right? So, you know, I think the rally cry here is not in Congress. I mean, who wants to rely upon government to help change the world? I mean, that's just a nightmare if you ask me. It's great you're taking it on, but I think there's a new revolution, and I'd love to see you, you know, really try to help companies like yours promote the fact that to buy you, to grow your business because you are American, American enriched, or whatever you want to call it, or whatever it comes up with. Does that make sense?
Well, it's only half the equation, because this is on all products, all imported products. Those guys aren't going to want to put their stuff on, you know, unless they're required to put those labels on and to import them. So what I'm really more interested in with the laws, because American companies like this, is to get the imports to have their origin on there and the percentages of where it's coming from. Because remember, the example I gave you before, you can help the economy greatly by not by American, just by something made in a country that has better trade relationships, like getting away from China and going to Taiwan or something. And when the Chinese start seeing this stuff selling, you know, against this trade ratio, they're going to maybe start buying more American stuff because they want to balance it. And then suddenly we pick up exports, which also adjust jobs. So it's really more about the imports, and mm-hmm. that's why it has to be on all products.
Got it. But I still think you're going to buy America because that America label's on it, not because some Chinese label, it has a Chinese label on it, right? I mean, you're going to want to feel good by making that purchase and take home that label that says, I just bought America. I mean, have at it. It was great having you on the show. Thanks so much for your dedication and devotion to this. You're trying to make America a better place. Thanks so much. And a more financially solid place. Power to you. Thanks so much for being on the show, Alan.
Thank you for having me.
Right on. And thanks for accommodating my wonderful challenges, which are part of the part of the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Until next week, hope your life's a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser, especially here in America. Thanks for tuning in.